You're listening to audio from Ascend Church. For more information about Ascend or to access more gospel-centered tools to grow as a disciple of Christ, visit ascendkc.org.
My name is Sal LaFaso, for those who are familiar with who I am. And my wife and I have been members of Ascend Church for a little over 9 years. We began coming here early after launch. I serve on the elder team. I've been with the elder team for about 6 years. And my wife, Karen, and I serve in children's ministry. We teach the third to fifth graders every other Sunday, which is a joy to us. Love talking to kids and speaking God's word into their lives and having fun with them. And that's just a blessing from God that he gives us here as we seek to honor him. Well, this is Thanksgiving week, obviously. So from my family to yours, happy Thanksgiving. And we want to focus this morning on the concept of offering God thanks. We don't want to do this because it's a seasonal thought. We want to reflect on thankfulness because it's a theme of Scripture. You can trace Thanksgiving right through the entire Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, like a thread. Bible has many aspects to it, of course, and there are different threads that we can pull through. And this is one thread that starts in the Old Testament, and you can pull it all the way through, all the way to the book of Revelation, the fact that God calls us to be a thankful people. And there's reasons why we should be thankful. We want to highlight that here this morning. Our big idea is in front of us. Just notice this for a moment. Thanksgiving expresses sincere gratitude to God and is fundamental to our relationship with him. It is definitely fundamental to that. And it is to be offered freely and spontaneously in recognition of his faithfulness or his goodness in our lives. So let's have that as our thinking this morning, and I invite you to pray with me. We'll just reach out to the Lord and begin with thanksgiving right out of the gate here, okay? Lord, we bow before you as your people, and we are thankful. We thank you, Lord, for your grace over our lives, common grace that you pour out upon us every single day. We thank you for saving grace, Lord, that as even as we have sung this morning, have the opportunity to reflect back those days, Lord, when you drew us to yourself and how life was transformed. Lord, we give you the honor for that. We celebrate you here this morning in light of your majesty and who you are. And Lord, you are worthy. You're always worthy, Lord. And we can worship you. We can sing. We can praise. But in addition to this, Lord, you look for our thanksgiving, recognition, Lord, of what you have done for me personally. Expressing that back to you, celebrating you. So, Lord, would you refresh us through your word this morning? Would you give us a new alert in our souls, O God, on how you call us to generate back to you a thankful heart? And may we offer that to you even in tight places. We pray with thanksgiving now in Jesus' name. Amen. As we think about Thanksgiving, it is a stated spiritual value in Scripture. It's fundamental to us in terms of it being a moral obligation. We are morally obligated to give thanks to God. We may not think in those terms, but that's what Scripture reveals to us. We're told in Psalm 92 that it is good to give thanks to the Lord. That's a moral sense. That's a moral compass right there that obligates us to offer back to God a heart of thanksgiving. So what we'd like to do here this morning is spend some time going through God's word. Different scriptures, I don't have one specific overall passage to look at, but we want to begin by defining thankfulness, want to highlight that. We want to talk a little bit about how we can demonstrate thankfulness. And then thirdly, we want to have some admonitions on how we can develop thankfulness. So that's kind of the plan here. I want to begin by defining thankfulness from Scripture. We can go to the Bible, of course, and there are many helpful tools that we use to define words in Scripture. You can go to a concordance, other Greek uses that we have, and we can come up with some solid, helpful shades of meaning that are worthy of God as we think about the subject of thanksgiving. One thing we don't want to do, we don't want to go to the culture and try to elicit from the culture what thanksgiving looks like in terms of how we offer it to God, because we live in a pagan culture, brethren. It's a fallen culture. So we don't want to get our cues from the culture. We want to get our cues from the Word of God. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Bart Simpson, but he reflects the culture real well. Yeah, he does. And Bart Simpson, who was very sarcastic as he was thinking on Thanksgiving, listen to what he said as he was reflecting on Thanksgiving. He said these words, "Since I worked for all that I have, God, thanks for nothing. Since I have worked for all that I have, God, thanks for nothing." Apart from being just straight up unbelief, that is borderline blasphemy, because we recognize a God who is so above anything like that. That's our culture. That's a fallen pagan viewpoint. We don't begin there. We begin with Scripture, and God's Word has wonderful shades of meaning. Let me just share some of these with you, and you can write these down. And what I want to do is, after I share a few of these, is just kind of condense it and let us focus on one specific aspect of definition that we are to reflect back to God in terms of being thankful. Okay, so the words thanks, thanksgiving, being thankful, being grateful, gratitude, all different words that we find in Scripture. Some of the meanings reflect this. It's an expression of gratitude for blessings received. We actually ought to express something back to God. We don't keep it to ourselves. When God blesses us, He expects us to express back to Him. It's recognition of blessings received. The word thankful, for example, is a compound word. It means to bless well, but it also means to give freely. So we're not only blessing, but we're actually doing this freely and spontaneously. So we can add that to this, to these nuances. We are to give back to God. We are to express to Him freely with the goal of blessing Him. We are to do it spontaneously. We are to be sincere. It is to be genuine, but it is to be an expression that we offer back to God freely. Another sense here is it means to make acknowledgement, and I like this one because it means to celebrate fully, to celebrate God. Every time we give thanks to God, we make an expression of thanks back to Him. We do that freely. We do it spontaneously. In God's viewpoint, we're actually celebrating Him. Okay, and I just realized that our beloved ushers are standing in the back with Bibles for anyone who may not have a Bible present this morning. So if you need a Bible, would you raise your hand, please? Thank you, Tim. Appreciate the reminder there. It's easy to get going here and now talks and be a little bit, yes, thank you, thumbs up. Appreciate that. Okay, let's pick up right where we were, all right? To celebrate fully, we express that spontaneously. We do that freely before our God. This is an interesting term because we wouldn't think of it this way. Thanksgiving has to do with being gracious back to God. You see, God is gracious to us, and we kind of turn it around and become gracious back to Him. And we do that, as we said, freely, spontaneously, as we celebrate Him. Here's another definition of thanksgiving from the Scriptures. It means to express or to give forth joyful response to God. We do it joyfully. So different nuances, different shades of meaning as we think about offering God thanks. But the one that really catches my attention here that I want to highlight specifically is this concept of celebrating God, just celebrating Him. And doing that freely and spontaneously and fully, we celebrate Him. So this morning, as we're here, as we're brothers and sisters in Christ, as we just want to sort of examine our hearts here in God's presence, are you celebrating God in your walk with Him? As you realize His goodness to you, His blessings over your life, it isn't reserved for one day, it's reserved for every day. We're walking with God. We experience God. And God wants us to celebrate Him in our hearts or even through our words, through song, freely, spontaneously back to him a thanksgiving, an expression of gratitude to him. It should mark our lives, brethren, because of who God is and because of what God does. And that is to go Godward. It's not to be manward in terms of self-centeredness. It is to be Godward. So in light of that sort of shade of meaning, we celebrate God fully, freely, spontaneously. Let's ask ourselves, why should we be thankful? What are some reasons why we should be thankful? And before I dive in here, what do you think in your own mind and heart? What would be like two big reasons why you should be thankful today and every day? What would be some reasons that would come to you as we think about this? I'd like to share two main reasons why we should be thankful for God before God. And the first reason is quite obvious, but something that we don't always think about is the fact that God is my creator. He made me. He created the universe. God is my creator. And because he's a creator, I owe him everything. The very breath that I'm breathing right now is a borrowed breath. It is. The very eyes that I can see with, the very ears that I hear with, everything about me, my mind, my heart, my soul, my ability to walk, my ability to use my hands. I am a creature. I am created by God. And God says I should celebrate him fully in light of the fact that he is my creator. And scripture highlights this for us. Let's just turn for a moment over to Revelation chapter 4. Would you notice Revelation 4? And we'll sort of use this as a backdrop for this thought. Revelation chapter 4 is the great throne of God, the throne room passage in the Word of God. Revelation 4, we see God sitting on his throne. He is a spirit, so you don't actually see God, but you see his glory. You see his majesty. And living creatures are around the throne, and 24 elders are around the throne. And there's a concentric circles of other angels around God's throne. And notice verse 9 of chapter 4, what they're doing. When the living creatures give glory, honor, and there it is, thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever. 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne. Worship him who lives forever and ever. What are they worshiping him for? Verse 11, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, power, for you created all things. By your will, they existed and were created. Brethren, right now, in the throne room of God, God is being thanked for being the creator of the universe, being the creator of all things. We take that and apply it to ourselves. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We should be thankful for the mere fact, the great fact, that God is my creator. But brethren, on top of this, God is not just my creator, he's my sustainer. You know, when God created the universe, when he created you, he didn't just wind you up like a clock and put you on a shelf and now time just ticks down. God not only creates the universe, he sustains the universe. He's constantly at work. He's constantly at motion, putting all of his attributes on full display as he sustains the universe, as he sustains you and I day by day. And you know what that means? You are a receiver, and God is the giver. We're recipients. Part of my creatureship is that I am a recipient. God is constantly sustaining me, and he does this under common grace, constantly pouring out his common grace every single day upon our lives. I stand here this morning fully dressed. I'm not going to say what Bart Simpson says, because I've worked for everything I have, God. Thanks for nothing. What I wear this morning is a gift from God. Yes, I worked and I purchased, but it comes to us from a hand of a sovereign God. And it's not just relative to what I wear, it's to everything that God puts into my life. My successes, all things are a result of his common grace over our lives. Listen to what scripture says, Psalm 145. The Lord is good to all, He opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. That means the God that we serve does not have a clenched fist. He opens his hand, and as he spreads his fingers, common grace is constantly coming down upon our lives and blessing us day in and day out. And that applies to the saved and to the unsaved. Because Jesus said, God allows the sunshine and the rain to come to the wicked and the righteous. In fact, Luke tells us that God even allows the sunshine to come upon, and this is the word Luke uses, the ungrateful. The ungrateful. God is a God of common grace. James tells us in James 1, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow cast by turning, comes down from above. Listen to what that phrase means, guys. This is awesome. Coming down from above means that God sends these blessings down in unending procession every day upon our lives. Unending procession, like a parade of blessing. Do you see it? Do you sense it? Do you feel it? Do you know it? God blesses us, common grace, every single day. Therefore, we need to be alert to that reality and celebrate him fully, freely, spontaneously every day, because he's created us and he also sustains us. Listen to what John the Baptist said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from above. When Jesus stood in front of Pilate, Pilate said to Jesus, don't you know that I have authority to crucify you? And Jesus said, you would have no authority unless it was given to you from above. Everything comes down to us based upon common grace. Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4, what do you have that you have not received? And if you received it, why do you boast as if you haven't received it? Brethren, we are recipients every single day of common grace. And because that is true, God tells us, celebrate me fully every day for my goodness that I pour out upon your life. Now, brethren, we live in a world that is in rebellion against God. Like I said, we don't take our cues from our culture. As we look at our culture going further and further down the slide into deeper and deeper depravity, manifestation of the destructive nature of sin, do you know what sits at the top of that list in Romans chapter 1? We all go to Romans 1 to look at that list of decline. The very thing that sits on top of that list, listen to what it says. Man knew God, but they did not honor him or give thanks to him. And that began man's decline into depravity. Of course, it's based upon original rebellion in the garden. We know that. But you take thankfulness outside, take thankfulness out of a culture, and that culture will go downhill in a hurry. You know, we lived in Papua New Guinea some years back, a pagan culture, a Stone Age culture, didn't have the Bible. They did not have a word for Thanksgiving in their culture. No knowledge of God. No knowledge of correct understanding of Thanksgiving. Brethren, we are created in the image of God. One reason why we should be thankful is because God is our creator and our sustainer. Can you sense it? Let's offer him thanks. Let's be fully celebrating him fully. Then the second reason why we should give thanks to God is found in Colossians chapter 1. Would you meet me there, please? Colossians chapter 1. Page, 983. I'm using the House Bible, by the way. So 983. Colossians chapter 1. A second reason why we should be giving thanks to God, not only because of his common grace, saving grace. saving grace. God is not only my Savior, not only my Creator, He's also my Redeemer. Notice verse 11, please, Colossians 1. May you be strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. Here it is, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I should be giving thanks. I should be celebrating God fully because of my salvation. He's placed me into the inheritance of the saints of light, and you too. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness. We are now in Christ's kingdom. We have experienced redemption, which means God has purchased us by Christ's blood out of the slave market of sin. Power is broken. Freedom in Jesus Christ. Pretty awesome, our salvation. And then also we're forgiven. Forgiven. Clean before the God of the universe who could judge me. I should be thankful for that. Shouldn't you? Shouldn't we be thankful? We should be celebrating God fully every day in our hearts and minds as we just walk with Him and desire to know Him better. So we have two big reasons here to be thankful. God is my Creator. God is my Redeemer. God is my Sustainer. God is my Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for being who you are in my life. We worship the living God. Amen, brethren? So we define thanks. We celebrate God fully. Why should we do that? We should do that for two big reasons. He is our Creator. Secondly, He is our Redeemer. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, with that in mind now, let's think about demonstrating thankfulness. Let's talk for a moment or two here about demonstrating thankfulness. Two scriptures I want to highlight. The first one is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Would you go there, please? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Every book has a theme. The book of 1 Thessalonians is live holy in light of the second coming of Christ. And one of the ways that we can live holy is found in verse 18, which is what we want to highlight. Notice, please, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, brethren, that command, that's a tall order. I think you would agree with me on that. And that command, if I can get my notes figured out here, that command is startling in some ways because it's comprehensive. Notice it again. Give thanks in all circumstances. Comprehensive, all-inclusive. Well, he doesn't tell us what those circumstances look like, whether they're bad, whether they're good, whether they're gratifying, whether they're not gratifying, whether it involves accident, whether it involves health, whether it involves lack of health. In all circumstances, he says here, we are to give thanks to God. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Now, brethren, there's two reasons why we can do this. One reason is this, because wherever you are right now, wherever you are found in this moment, in your circumstances, you are there underneath the sovereignty of God. You are. You're there underneath the sovereignty of God. Even if it's failure, God chastises us. And we find ourselves underneath the hand of a sovereign God. And because that is true, brethren, we can give thanks. Because God uses all events and all things there have a relationship underneath the sovereignty of God for our good, which is found in Romans 8, which is He is conforming us to the image of His Son. That is the good. God uses it all. So all of our circumstances are used by Him under His sovereignty. And because that is true, Paul tells us here, give thanks in all circumstances. But then there's a second reason, and I love this. It's because in those circumstances, you are also in Christ Jesus. In your circumstances, you're not alone. You're in Christ Jesus. Wherever you are, wherever you find yourself right now as a Christian, you are in Christ Jesus, that circumstance. And that equals to me security. To me, that equals benefit. I am in Christ in the middle of those circumstances. And guys, that gives us reason then not to be stoic, not to be pessimistic, not to be sarcastic, not just simply resign myself. It motivates us because we are in Christ to want to do the will of God. And one of the things that God tells us here is his will is to give thanks in all circumstances. It's the word of God. I'm under the sovereignty of God. He's moving me in a direction in my circumstances. And I am in Christ. I am secure. So I don't have to resign myself to stoicism. I can fully celebrate God. I can. We have to learn that. Now let's think about an individual. I think we all know who Johnny Erickson Tada is, correct? A sister in Christ, right? She is a Christian author. She is a Christian speaker. She is a Christian artist. And she is a Christian who is a quadriplegic. And you know what she said concerning this verse? She said, thanksgiving is not based upon my feelings. Thanksgiving is based upon obedience. And she speaks from experience, doesn't she? And she's learning to give thanks to God. And notice all the wonderful ways God has used her in her circumstances, because she lives underneath the sovereignty of God. And she finds herself in Christ Jesus. That's a blessing. And we can learn from that, can't we? Do you know that the pilgrims, they dug 7 times more graves than they built houses to live in. And yet they set aside a day to give thanks to God. Plague, illness, disease, sickness, wiping out people one after another, digging grave after grave. And yet they found the opportunity to have a day set aside where they can obey God and celebrate him fully. And to that we say, Lord, teach me to do your will. And may I grow in my thankfulness before you in all of my circumstances. Next, scripture tells us that we are to offer thanks to God. Get this, continually. Notice Hebrews chapter 13. Excuse me, 13:15. Hebrews 13:15, the great, great book of Hebrews. Christ is superior to everything and everyone, and he is superior in his sacrifices. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Notice this with me, please. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. I want to just sort of give a different translation for the end of that verse. I think a better translation would read this way. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. In fact, the Old Testament speaks to us about offering up a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God in numerous places. So I think the writer of Hebrews is tagging on top of that concept of offering up to God, notice, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Sometimes it's costly to thank God, but there's great value in the cost. We offer up a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God. Now, the thing that I want to highlight here is that this sacrifice of thanksgiving is built upon the supreme sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice. He's our high priest, but he offered up that sacrifice as a result of the cross. And we know, as you read the context of this passage, it's talking about blood sacrifices and goats and all these previous animals that continually, day after day, sacrifices were offered up year after year until the ultimate sacrifice came, right? The final blood sacrifice, doing away with all those continual sacrifices, blood sacrifices. But the one sacrifice, brethren, one sacrifice that rises up out of the cross that is to be continual is a sacrifice of thanksgiving. God calls us to this. Think about the attitude of our Lord Jesus as he faced the cross. He met with his disciples in an upper room the night before, right? It says, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he took a cup, symbolizing his death, right? And what did he do? He gave thanks. He gave thanks. He offered up to the Father a sacrifice of thanksgiving, knowing full well that in a number of hours to come, he would be squeezed, he would be pressed, he would be crushed on the cross for our sins, experiencing the wrath of God, and yet he faced it with thanksgiving. That's a sacrifice. So through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. No greater example, no greater sacrifice than that of our Lord. So, brethren, when you feel like you are being squeezed and pressed and crushed, that becomes a time to celebrate God fully with a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And that's the hardest thing to do. I'm going to put Nick Ferran on the spot here for a moment. Are you okay with this? Visiting with Nick this morning and all the struggles he's been through of recent months. And he actually said the one thing that is helpful to him is that he seeks to offer thanks to God in the middle of all of his physical infirmities. And he says it's not that difficult because it's out of his control. He's under the sovereignty of God, and he's learning to give thanks to God in his physical infirmities that he struggled through. Squeezed, pressed, crushed, sacrifice of thanksgiving to God. Thank you, brother, for your testimony, thanksgiving to the Lord. We grow from that. We value that. Okay, defining thanks, celebrating God fully. We do that because he is our creator. He is our redeemer. We offer this in all circumstances because we are under the sovereignty of God and we are in Christ, and we are to do this continually as a sacrifice because it is built upon the cross, the ultimate sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how can we develop this? How can we grow in thanksgiving? I want to just share three quick thoughts, and then we'll wrap it up, okay? We need three things, brethren. We need God's word, we need God's spirit, and we need prayer. And these things, as they grow in our life, we can develop thanksgiving to a greater degree. Would you notice Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16? Colossians 3:16, please. Notice the connection between God's word and a thankful heart. No word, no thankful heart. More of the Word of God, more of a thankful heart. Notice verse 16, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom and singing psalms and hymns, spiritual thought songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So word of God in, thankfulness comes out, because the word of God cleanses our hearts, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So as the word of God comes in, it cleans us, it changes us, it refreshes us, it renews us. And as we have God's word coming in, it gives us perspective. And we need perspective so that we can give God thanks. I wear glasses, which is quite obvious. And my glasses help me to see far away and help me to see close. So if I don't have my glasses on, I have a little bit of a struggle. I certainly have a struggle reading my notes. I can't read my notes basically because they're just so messy. But having glasses on does give a little bit of a help. But nonetheless, lenses give us perspective. I can see clearer. God's word clears our mental, spiritual vision that enables us to have perspective. And two big perspectives that we always need. We need the reminder of God's unchanging character. That helps me to see far away, helps me to see the big picture. And I also need God's word to help me to see up front so that I can learn to trust God in the moment in my circumstances. I need the big picture of God's unchanging character. And I need the closeness of the reality that I need to trust in this God, and perspective. And as we have perspective, brethren, God's unchanging character and his call in my life to simply trust him, that helps me and you to grow in thanksgiving. I have on my shelf commentary set by Matthew Henry. It is condensed in one volume. Crazy. Old Testament, New Testament, one volume. Here's a man who filled himself with the Word of God, no doubt. Many years ago, when he was robbed, he had perspective. Let me read to you what he said after being robbed. He gave thanks to God for four reasons. Let me be thankful first, because I was never robbed before. Good perspective. Secondly, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Good perspective. Thirdly, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourthly, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. That's perspective. Here's a man who was steeped in the scriptures. And in the moment of that circumstance, he found four reasons to do the will of God and obey God by being thankful. Let's learn from that, shall we? And let's let the Word of God fill our lives more and more so that we can grow in our perspective of thankfulness before God. Make sense? Let's notice the second item. We not only need perspective, we also need power. We not only need God's Word, we need God's Spirit, the author of the Word. Would you notice Ephesians 5? Ephesians 5, please. And Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3, these passages are virtually mirror images of themselves, but with a different truth related to them. Colossians 3 says the Word of God should fill us. Ephesians 5 says the Spirit should fill us. Notice Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk with wine. That is debauchery. That is outrageous conduct. Why would you do that? But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Here it is. Giving thanks always, that's Hebrews 13:15. And for everything, that's 1 Thessalonians 5:18, to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need power. We need to be filled with power. We need strength. Be filled with the Spirit. We are filled with the Spirit as we yield to the Spirit. I don't resist him. I don't quench him. I don't push him aside. I yield to him. I'm learning to yield to him, to walk in the Spirit. And as I yield to the Spirit fills me, fills us. We don't get more of the Spirit. He gets more of us. And as he fills us, he controls us. He gives us power. And as he gives us power, he will lead us into the Word of God. And he will guide us and he will initiate within us the ability to obey God so that we will give thanks to God. I not only need perspective, I need power. And that power comes from the Holy Spirit who initiates strength within me so that I can give thanks to God. Take the Spirit out and we're weak. Take the Word God out, I have no perspective. And I will be a thankless Christian. Are you a thankless Christian? Or are you a Christian who's growing in celebrating God more fully in your life? We need both. It tells us, we're told in Luke chapter 10, I believe it is. Yep, Luke 10:21, that Jesus Christ stood and rejoiced in the Spirit, meaning he was filled with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit of joy. He was filled with the Spirit. And then he said, Father, I thank you for hiding your truth to these and revealing your truth to these. Christ was filled with the Spirit. His immediate response was to give thanks to God. As we are filled with the Spirit, we don't speak in tongues, we speak with thanksgiving, according to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's be filled with the Spirit as we yield to him. And then finally, brethren, we not only need God's Word and God's Spirit, we need prayer. We need to pray. Would you notice Philippians chapter 4? Philippians chapter 4. These are verses that we should all memorize. Would be good to memorize 4 down to 8. In fact, it would be good to memorize the whole book of Philippians. Okay, let's see. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Let's notice this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, three things, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Result, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God's Word gives us perspective. God's Spirit gives us power. Prayer brings peace into our lives. Three things I just want to mention quickly. Number one, we pray because we acknowledge God's sovereignty. Number two, we supplicate because we appeal to his sovereignty. And then we ready ourselves with thanksgiving because he's going to answer our prayers based upon his sovereignty. So we pray, acknowledging his sovereignty, we supplicate, we appeal to his sovereignty, and then we ready ourselves, we anticipate the answers of his sovereignty by giving us answers to our prayers, so we are ready with thanksgiving. They work together. All three work together. Now, this concept is highlighted for us quite clearly, I believe, in Luke 17, we won't turn there, but think with me on this for a moment as we wrap this time up. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus is going through a town, and off in the distance on a hill, there are 10 lepers. And they see Jesus from a distance. They're not going to come close to him because they're unclean and they're distant. But this is what they do. Listen up, brethren. This is what they do. They pray from a distance. They say, Jesus, Master. That's their prayer. Then they supplicate. and they say, "Have mercy on us." And then Jesus, from a distance, gives them instructions, and they're healed of their leprosy, and they go off. They prayed and they supplicated. What about Thanksgiving? What about Thanksgiving? Out of the 10 who were healed, the scripture says one came back to give thanks to Jesus. And Jesus says, weren't there 10? How come only one has come back? How come this Samaritan has come back? Not even a Jew, not even a full-fledged Jewish individual. A Samaritan. How is it that this one Samaritan has come back? So, brethren, there were 10 lepers. One came back. 1 in 10 is 10%. 1 in 10 is 10%. There should have been 100% come back, right? Brethren, that's tithing on your Thanksgiving. Do not tithe your Thanksgiving. Do not give God 10% of the blessings that he puts into your life back. Multiply your tithe. Let's grow in our tithing in terms of the level of thanksgiving we give back to God. Let's not let it be 10%. Let us grow towards 100%, celebrating God fully, freely, spontaneously, because of common grace and because of saving grace that we experience every single day of our lives. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, your word is so simple and yet so profound. And it instructs us, Lord. It opens our eyes to simple truth that's there all the time that we read. And yet, Lord, we want to be proactive to apply your word. Would you help us to grow, Lord? We have understanding. We have a little more understanding. Help us to apply it with a heart of obedience, to grow in our celebration of you in all circumstances, continually, because you alone are worthy. And we give you thanks in light of this right now, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God.